This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Dude, I'm beside myself. It is just bonkers around
you
here,
cloned
man.
You cloned yourself?
I did. I cloned myself. There's another one of me. If you
and
felt a giant sucking sound and all the energy of the southern United States, that was me cloning myself.
That's crazy. That's highly disturbing.
Really, really not enough room in the world. But yeah, dude, I am beside myself. It's crazy today, man. We're just it's just hopping. Yeah, things are nuts. It's a lot going on here around the old pipe shop, and man, obviously, you know, a lot of that has to do with Christmas time and just increased traffic around the shop. Folks coming in looking for gifts. Folks coming in from out of town visiting that haven't been in a while. And yeah, it's just a lot of energy, man. So it's one of those things too. What'll happen, and what might come out a little bit in this episode, is that I'll run through the day working like crazy, and I won't eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, while not eating anything, my pipe intake and my coffee intake are off the charts.
Right.
And
right.
So, and just in case you don't know, I weigh 150 pounds. And so, like, for me to, have a lot of nicotine, a lot of caffeine, and not many calories, like, it's just kind of a disaster.
It's not a great combination. No, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a little jittery. I might be a little, speech stumbly today, but anyway, we're having fun, man. It's full swing around here, so things are going great.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And this is definitely the season where Santa's elves are working overtime to get all of those great pipes and pipe tobaccos ready to be stuffed in the stockings from corner to corner here. I know that I know that as far as elves go, you are definitely in full on elf mode. So
we are in elf mode. Yeah, if you ever ordered from the Country Squire, particularly the past, I will say 3 years, there's a really good chance that a very good friend of mine, Liz First, packed your order and sent it to you, and she is just a champion. And so I want to acknowledge her over the air. She's you may have bumped into her on Facebook or one of the online communities. She's a real active in those. But anyway, just she's great. She does just Wonder Woman's work, and
I'm
so thankful for her. So she is the chief elf, and I am the elf
on the shelf.
And on the not on the shelf. I'm doing more than that.
A little bit.
I move around some during the day. Anyway, we're rocking and rolling. Things are good. It's kind of crazy around here too, because they're as we mentioned before, they're doing a lot of construction here in our shopping center, and so building all those new apartments behind us, and that's had kind of crazy ramifications on the shop too. But we do look forward to having a whole bunch of people living right behind us here in the near future. So
that's always rough, man. That's one of those long term kind of like benefits that's a short term nightmare.
Yeah, it is. The parking, traffic, and cutting power off randomly, messing with the water supply and internet going down, and just how it is. It's just construction, and it's powering through. But we're hoping we mine some new and convert some new pipe smokers back there. So we'll see.
All right, man. Well, that sounds good. Well, hey, we've got quite the show to dive into. But before we do, we want to let you know a few things. First things first, we are going to have our best of episode coming up here at the end of the year. But if you did not get your nominations in, chances are you missed it. You may have missed the opportunity because nominations are closed as you are hearing this. And so thank you to everybody who was able to get those nominations in. Just as a reminder, what we do is we intake those nominations and we will select a best of Country Squire Radio's best of based off of and inspired by y'all's nomination. So thank y'all to everybody for who participated. And we look forward to doing that kind of end of year special coming up very, very soon here. Go ahead.
Just always so exciting, and particularly in the past couple of years, we've had a lot of participation in this and input in this. It's really folks have kind of caught on, and it's been a lot of fun, seeing, what's out there, and folks are nominating, things, some a lot of which we're aware of, but some of which we're not. And so just diving into some of those things, it's been really great. We're honored by all the participation. So thank you so much for the folks that have jumped in.
That's right. Actually, you know, there's a lot of participation we are very, very thankful for. And of course, we want to give special thanks to our amazing patrons, the folks at the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club who are making this show happen. If you'd like to learn more, head over to patreon.com/Country Squire Radio today and learn more there. But man, I don't want to kind of, you know, get too much into the housekeeping because we got a show, man. It's the holiday season.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
The chestnuts are roasting over the open fire. The open fire that is the pipes on everybody's mouth right now as they are tuning in. Billows of smoke going up to roast those chestnuts. And by chestnuts, I mean the brain modules that exist above people's heads.
Where are you going with this?
It's a bad metaphor. I'm aware of this.
At this point, you've just kind of bought in, you know? You're a little too far in, so just roll with it, man.
Just
we'll
keep
see
going.
Where it goes.
Okay, all right. Santa's sleigh is riding up the chimney that is, you know what, I can't. Basically, we're doing a great holiday special this week, man. I'm really, really stoked for it. We are doing three holiday blends that should be on the top of your Christmas list.
Sure. Man, that's it.
We went through a lot of different iterations for the name of this episode, but basically it's three Christmas blends, but we wanted to give it a little jazz, you know, a little something.
These are three blends, and, you know, frankly, they're not specifically made for Christmas or anything like that, but they are blends that we think you ought to try for the holidays. And, you know, there's so many good tobaccos out there, you know, some that are Christmas themed and some that are not. But, you know, a lot of blends that are just really good this time of year that, you know, might evoke certain, you know, characteristics or memories or have certain flavor profiles that supplement all the majesty and wonder and magic of this time of year. And God knows this year we all desperately need a little extra majesty and wonder in our lives.
Are you saying that we need a little Christmas right this very minute? Da, 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 da. I don't know the words. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is where you stop singing, and then we talk about pipe tobacco.
That's right. can't it be both?
I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's going to break some law of physics. No, man. So, yeah, we thought we'd talk about three tobaccos that I thought would be fun to visit for this time of year. And so, and again, not particularly Christmas themed or, you know, Christmas tobaccos. There is one exception to that. But you know, overall, just tobaccos that I thought, you know, should be on your radar and some things that maybe would be good for you to try this time of year to go with, you know, either your figgy pudding or your, you know, special eggnog or whatever it is that you've got going on. So have you cracked open the eggnog yet this year, Bo?
Yes, I have. We do have an annual tradition with another show called Flash TV Talk, where we do an event called Grandma Esther's Eggnog Induced Christmas Call and Extravaganza. And it is I'm pretty sure we hold the Guinness Book of World Records that have never actually been recorded for the longest podcast title in history, at least in terms of holiday themed, to be sure. And that actually, ironically, we're recording that one this coming weekend, but I began pre-gaming a little early, if you know what I mean. So yes, we've been diving into the nog a bit here.
That's great. I haven't actually cracked any open right now. We, you know, it's funny. My drinking buddy, my wife, is she's pregnant, right?
Right. So, yeah, that'll about do it.
And we're big wine drinkers, and so you know, it's hard to open a nice bottle of wine when you know you're the only one in the house that's going to work on it. We're going to talk about pipe tobacco in a second, I promise. But you know, but I am in a lament you know, the fact that my wine consumption's gone down because I don't you know, you open a bottle and you're the one that's got to drink it, and you know, after a couple of days it, you know, tastes like you know, road tar or something. You know, you've got to power through, and it's more fun with a friend, you know, especially your wife. So anyway, all that to say, good for you, man. I need to find some eggnog myself. Man, we're going to talk about three tobaccos today. The first one, we've got the spectrum of pipe tobaccos covered here. I'm excited about this. Just visiting tobaccos that we haven't mentioned on the show before or have not mentioned maybe in a long time, but the first one is a newer tobacco, actually brand new to the market this year, that I'd like everyone to give a shot to. If not this particular one, certainly one that's in the new line of tobaccos that they've come out with. This is Chacombe No. 2 Pipe Tobacco. Now, we did a feature on some of the Chacombe tobaccos before. It was either on a Squire Select or a Tobacco Talk. I can't remember when we talked about it. But Chacombe is earlier last year, I believe, they came out with three tinned tobaccos that were in the kind of Cornell and Deal, McClellan style tins. You know, really nice selection. They had an aromatic vapor, an English, and an aromatic. And then this year, they kind of doubled down on their tobacco experimenting. And so you know, one of the blue ribbon pipe companies in the world, the Chacombe, you always think of Saint Claude, France, the home of Briar. It's like, man, they if anyone has a, you know, has a stellar pipe pedigree, it'd be Chacombe. And so they're, you know, sticking their toe in the water with you know, premium pipe tobacco, and coming out with some interesting and unique flavors. And and so this year they came out with four more tobaccos. They're very simple, numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. They all feature the kind of signature Chacombe rooster, which I don't know what the story is behind the rooster on the Chacombe branding, but I really love it. They just kind of embrace that, and it's on their boxes and on some of their literature and things. It's just something that's kind of fun. This rooster smoking a pipe. There's a big purple number 2, and it's just very simple but kind of fun. Yeah, so it's a good pipe tobacco. It's one that's Burley, Cavendish, and Virginia's. You know, this is a Virginia Ford tobacco. It's one that is going to, you know, until the topping appears, it's going to focus mostly on the natural elements of the Virginia, the bright leaf, you know. And so you're talking natural sweetness, that high sugar content, a medium to high nicotine ratio, something that's strong, flavorful, but, you know, not bold, but a strong, flavorful tobacco. And so, you know, just really, really tasty. They round it off with traces of Burley and Black Cavendish that's been fermented. And so it kind of smooths off some of the hard edges of that that bright leaf that, you know, just has a more refined taste. So what they do after they blend this tobacco, come out with a really expertly blended concoction, they actually subtly top this with this fruity note. Now, it's not a lot of times when folks see a tinned tobacco and then they think fruity, they think, oh, that's going to taste, you know, like a, I don't know, like a the Jolly Rancher that everybody throws out or something. Right, I don't know. Right, yeah. But it's not a sickly or cloying flavor. It's something that's very, very well done, I think.
I'm sorry, yellow. You said chlorine flavor?
Cloying, C-L-O-Y. Yeah,
okay. It's, yes.
Doesn't have that almost a repulsive sweetness to it. You know, it's very, very well done. So, okay. Notes of plum, sweet vanilla, that plum flavor. They actually refer to it as yellow plum, which I kind of see where they're going from with that. It's kind of a savory but tartness that you get from some of that stone fruit that has that color. There's a mulled wine kind of note there, which is interesting. It's creamy and crisp at the same time. You know, we talked about wine earlier, just me, you know, lamenting the fact that I, you know, can't drink as much as I used to.
right.
And, you know, that it does almost have that kind of Sauvignon Blanc flavor profile to it. You know, you've got this creaminess, but, you know, there's a crispness to it there as well, which is very pleasing. So
that's wild, man. And it's fascinating because like, I was actually going to comment about, you know, just the appropriateness of you mentioning being so into the wine beforehand, because there's something about like the Chacombe branding that I find very reminiscent of Yellowtail. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Very, you know, you mentioned like the rooster's kind of right up there in your face, but there's also very much kind of a minimalist approach to it. Mm-hmm. And like instantly when I see kind of their tins, I'd like the thing that comes to mind is Yellowtail.
Man, absolutely. You know, I obviously pipe tobacco in my mind goes really good with good wine. And so now if Yellowtail's good wine or not, I'll leave that up to the listener to decide that. I have opinions and beliefs on that I'll leave unsaid.
Okay.
But anyway, no, I think, but, you know, obviously the similarities are there. And of course, you know, with French, you know, French branding, of course, the home of some of the best wine in the world is right there in Western Europe. But anyway, Chacombe number 2. That's our first stop for our three holiday blends that you should try.
Okay. All right. So these, and you know, like I said, man, I'm assuming these would be on your Christmas list, if not, actually, Never mind. You know, I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna save it. Go ahead. What's up next?
One, we think to kind of stop off in the English blend section of the holidays. You know, we feel like we owe it to our Latakia fans to you know, to certainly talk about a robust, full bodied English blend, and it's a blend that if you've been in the pipe world for a while, you're probably familiar with. Although it doesn't get the the celebrity status or the rave ratings that a lot of other tin tobaccos get, but it's certainly well known, and it's a warhorse tobacco that's been around a long time. It always gets the job done. It's a very well blended, manufactured by one of the world's best manufacturing houses, and is just always a solid blend for the very premium Latakia lover, and that is Ashton's Artisan Blend. This is a great tobacco because it pairs the smoky Latakia content that's there with the creaminess that you kind of feel is appropriate for your after Christmas meal kind of smoke, or to go with that eggnog, or something of that nature. Think of wearing that warm sweater while you're watching a Bing Crosby movie or something like that. This is a good English blend, and if you like English blends and haven't tried Ashton's Artisan Blend, it's one you need to have on your list for sure, particularly around Christmas when, with the tradition for many of us is to revisit old favorites and that kind of thing. So full-bodied English mixture, this is actually produced by Kohlhaas & Kopp, which we love. Of course, everything that comes out of their factory in Germany is just stellar. They do a really good job with everything that they touch. Latakia, Turkish tobaccos, Perique, Black Cavendish, and Virginia. This is a full-bodied English blend, that Balkan style that features more of the Turkish tobaccos that give it some of that. They're creamy, but they also are very aromatic, and they have a kind of sweetness, natural sweetness to it. There's a little mustiness there that's very pleasing, and just very interesting. It's a ribbon-cut tobacco. It's going to be a darker leaf, something when you open it up that on average is pretty much ready to smoke. You may need to let it dry out a little bit, but Ashton has been making tobaccos for under their name anyway for quite a long time. Of course, most folks in the premium tobacco world will know Ashton on the cigar side. There's an unrelated Ashton company, of course, the Bill Taylor Ashton Pipes, who made in Great Britain and the legacy of the former Dunhill pipes that are being made. These are completely separate, non-related companies, essentially. But this Ashton tobacco, made under the same name as the cigar folks and for them. And it really has, over the years, become a very good selling English style blend. So, this particular blend, it packs well, it smokes really cool. I don't, when I visit this blend over and over, ever have to, tinker with relighting my pipe or any of that kind of stuff. One of the interesting things about Artisan's Blend is that it historically has featured Syrian tobacco and Syrian Latakia. And of course, over the past few years, we know kind of what's happened in the Syrian market, and all that tobacco is essentially gone from the face of the earth. It's tragic, more tragic than the loss of the tobacco, just what's going on over there. But because of that, this now features a Cyprian leaf that's in there. So kind of pulling back a little bit, looking at the difference between Cyprian Latakia and Syrian Latakia. For those that maybe are neophytes or not as familiar, just a quick, tobacco 101 point. Latakia, of course, it's an oriental leaf that has been basically sun cured and then fire cured. And so, it's got this essence of boldness, rich, infused flavor of the indigenous woods that have been, burned underneath these leaves to impart that specific flavor to the tobacco. It has a real peaty, leathery note to it. And so that's the nature of Latakia in general. Syrian leaf, historically, where, the home of Latakia, where it's actually named after, has more of a kind of an aromatic quality. It's lighter. It's more floral. The Cyprian counterparts of it, they taste different in most part because it's actually fired by different indigenous, you know, hardwoods that are there on the island of Cyprus. And so instead of the, you know, local Syrian hardwoods that are, you know, burned to create the Latakia, the Cyprian Latakia has a different, you know, different biology and all that because of the nature of, you know, what's being used to produce the fire there for the tobacco. And so that infusion of something that's actually different gives the Cyprian tobacco a little less finesse, more power, more, you know, it's a little more ham-fisted in its strength, but it does tend to be a little stronger and at least bolder in flavor. And, you know, it's certainly a well-rounded tobacco, but something that, you know, doesn't quite, you know, possess the delicacy of that Syrian tobacco. So, but even with the Cyprian tobacco in this particular blend, the Artisan's blend, man, they just do a really good job of, you know, kind of balancing out all this. You'll have the creaminess there of the Black Cavendish that's unflavored. It really marries well with the Virginias and the Turkish tobaccos. And it kind of, you know, a good English blend in my mind, particularly for the holidays when you're thinking of something that's comforting. You know, a good English blend will almost have this kind of like marshmallowy effect. It'll kind of have this creaminess that you want to swim through as you're smoking. and I think the Artisan's blend does that. It's one of those tobaccos that you know, for me, has always had elements of that. So so very good. It's something that I think you ought to try, and certainly would be a good pickup for this time of the year.
I like it, man. Okay, well, good deal. So we're moving right along. I can definitely see that we've got a couple of different I challenging the corners of the flavor profile. If that makes sense.
Challenging the corners of the flavor profile.
Well, I'm just thinking like, you know, one after the other might be a little crazy, but what do we got for third? Maybe I might be proved wrong.
Well, we're trying to round out all the, we are going through basically the entire flavor wheel of the tobacco spectrum here in the pipe world.
Running the gambit.
Yeah. And man, so, you know, we wanted to have a little something for everybody. And this year, now this particular tobacco is going to be hard for you to get if you haven't already procured a tin of it. It was a limited edition tobacco that came out this year from our dear friends at Sutliff. And Sutliff, of course, they've done a good job at coming out with these fun, interesting blends. They're kind of, you know, mad scientist kind of deal where they're getting in the kitchen and trying all kinds of wacky stuff, seeing what sticks and what doesn't, and, you know, how it might be interesting as a pipe-related combination or something of that nature. And, man, so what they did, of course, you know, they've, as we've talked about before, you know, they've been really focusing on a lot of pressed tobaccos, a lot of even double pressed tobaccos, their crumble cakes and plugs, things of that nature. And I think their magnum opus for the year 2020, which definitely needed an opus. It needed something to bail us out of this. Great product that came out this year from our friends at Sutliff, and that is Kringle Flake. It is just absolutely divine. It is really, really good. Sutliff, you know, the last couple of years they've come out with this Kringle Flake. It is a Virginia-based tobacco, a little different every year, but something that is always, you know, kind of in that Virginia vein. Their focus is on that reddish, ruddy, darker leaf that has the more rich, mellow flavors to it. And this year they kind of even went crazier with it and found some ancient Perique to throw in there as well. They say decade-old red Virginias are stoved to perfection, bringing the natural flavors to the forefront. Then they are combined with 2003 vintage Perique, pressed and sliced into broken flakes. And let me tell you, Bo, this stuff is awesome.
Yeah,
it is awesome. And I'm going to be honest. Yeah, it's called Kringle Flakes. So, you know, obviously it's, you know, we're thinking Christmas time and that whole chestnut.
I mean, they've got the wreath right there on the, I mean, it looks like a wreath the way they've got the,
it
the
is decorated. And it's even got a little place for you to write like to and from, you know, kind of deal. Like
they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, you know, their own kind of, you know, gifting it type thing, which is really neat, which I imagine most people that bought it, you know, they wrote from myself to myself, and they actually probably just wrote the date they bought it on, and because I doubt there was a whole lot of gifting of this particular tobacco going on. But man, they nailed it this year. They really did. You know, anytime you know someone comes out with a tobacco like this, they're high expectations. They spent obviously a lot of time on this particular recipe. They picked these particular tobacco leaves with very specific intentions, and then put them through the processes they did to bring out very specific, interesting flavors. And so for them to take those old belt red Virginias that have, you know, that kind of natural nuttiness to it, that nutty, you know, creaminess to them, the zestiness that's there that is very unique to that particular style leaf. They've stoved a lot of these Virginias. It's got this hard, this high, dark content there, they call it, which, you know, stoving Virginias, you're essentially griddling them, bringing that sugar, caramelizing it, bringing it to the top, and having these flavors that might take decades to emerge from the tobacco itself, but you kind of are able to you know, cheat and use the power of physics to get you there a little quicker. And man, are they so doggone good. They just really crushed it. With this. And then, of course, the Perique. Now, Perique is fascinating. Of course, we love Perique on the show. I'm a big Perique fan and have always enjoyed it. It's a tobacco that has a high nicotine content. It, you know, has a pungent vinegariness. It's semi-sweet. There's a pepper component to it, almost like a Tabasco sauce or something. It's this sweet, spicy, mushroomy concoction. And you're going to get that in any sense of Perique. But what's fascinating with what they've done here, they found some really old Perique. I mean, this is a vintage 2003 Perique, and Perique over years really, really changes. It's going to go from that more spicy, vinegary pungency to more of a fruity, aromatic, you know, kind of a like a cider almost. You're going to get more of that, you know, just kind of crisp sweetness that's there while maintaining some of that sweet heat as well. You know, it's just a really fun tobacco under, you know, after, you know, pressure and a lot of time. And so I think, of course, nothing pairs better with Perique than, you know, a red Virginia or a bright Virginia for that matter as well, a yellow Virginia. These tobaccos, of course, you know, really go hand in hand like peanut butter and jelly. They're just you know, such a good fit. But you know, applying that extra pressure to this Perique and Virginia's, letting it kind of marry up over time. Now, one thing, you know, I've called out Sutliff before. What sometimes they'll mention that it's a flake tobacco, but it, you open it up and it's like a you know, it's a crumble cake. Or, you know, they've called tobaccos like a plug before, but then you open it up and it's a you know, basically a thick cut crumble cake type thing. Sutliff says Kringle Flake is a flake, and it is. This is a real flake tobacco. It is a thick cut flake that is made of whole leaf that's been pressed and then sliced into these really beautiful flakes. And they're largish, you know, normal size flakes that are just kind of crumbly and have a relatively high moisture content, but they tear apart very nicely in the hand. I found that with the Kringle Flake, it was good to let it sit for a while, kind of, you know, the few bowls that I smoked, let it, you know, to kind of tear apart the amount that you anticipate putting into your bowl, letting it sit there, breathe, and you know, have the opportunity to dry out just a little bit, and then as you load your pipe, I think it'll reward you in that case, and also stay lit very well. So once you get this packed and you know, gently you know, charred, tamped, and then fully lit, it really shines. It's just a great tobacco from beginning to end, and you know, has a lot of that kind of carameliness that comes through after you know, something's been cooking, baking for a while, really nice. And so, you know, something good that they've really come out with here. Now, whenever we talk about Sutliff Virginias, okay, and this is just something that is in the pipe circles. Whenever we talk about Sutliff Virginias, there's an elephant in the room, okay? The elephant in the room is, are they trying to be McClelland? Is Sutliff trying to be McClellan? Are they trying, are we talking about that right now? Are they trying that's the elephant.
And they're trying, are they trying
to mimic some of those flavors that we don't have on the market anymore? And so these are discussions, right? I mean, they really are. That, you know, folks are like, well, you know, you can't get 5100 anymore, but they do have 515 RC, and well, you know, the you know, some of those more matured Virginias are off the market, but I don't know, this Virginia Perique crumble cake from Sulla's pretty doggone good, you know. And so folks are comparing the two, and the conversation always goes into the direction of, well, it's not McClellan, it's certainly not McClellan, right, it's not Christmas cheer. But it's pretty good, close, you know.
it's not Christmas cheer is what you're saying.
We hear this regularly. It's a conversation. That's the elephant in the room when it comes to these new Sutliff Virginias that they've been aggressively pursuing. And you know what? Frankly, I'm for it. I think the folks at Sutliff are doing an awesome job. There is that kind of gap in the flavor profile that they have gone directly into. Intentionally or not, I do have my suspicions. But I think they recognized, you know, in the sense that these are, you know, there's some smokers out there that are clamoring for a specific kind of vinegary, ketchupy, you know, red leaf that was very popular on the market, and certainly pairs well with things like you know, unflavored Black Cavendish or Perique and Latakia. And so they've kind of majored in this. They've kind of doubled down. Mm. They're chasing this tail and seeing where it goes. And I think the folks at Sutliff have done a good job with this. So, okay, Kringle Flake, are they trying to mimic McClellan? Are they trying to mimic Christmas cheer? You know, is there that, you know, Christmas cheer every single year, right? It had a different, you know, a different recipe. The leaf was from a different vintage, and they had handpicked the leaf from, you know, various farms that they had visited themselves and all this kind of stuff. Let those leaves sit back for, you know, years and years doing their thing under the summer sweats and in the Carolinas, and then, you know, expertly blending these tobaccos and letting them age. Just a lot of care that went into that. And Sutliff, I think they've got their eye on that. You know, I don't know. I don't think this is a direct copy, a clone of anything Sutliff has done, but I think in the periphery, as they're blending their stuff, they're kind of realizing, like, there's something here, and we know people want it, and there's essences of that flavor profile that you find here in Kringle Flake. You know, is Kringle Flake Christmas cheer? It's not. It's a different tobacco.
Okay.
Is it really good? Yeah, it's really good. It's really good, and it does push some buttons that I think have not been pushed in the tobacco market in a while. And so, and just really, really proud of Sutliff. Obviously, you know, I've kind of become a fanboy of this particular tobacco, and so you can hear that in my voice now. But you know, I hope they come out with more of this kind of stuff. I'm really, yeah, really eager to see them do some more, you know, regular production tobaccos that feature some of these flavors and some of this type of this type of profile. You know, it's a legit flake. It's something that is very well made. It you know, packs and lights easily. The moisture content is great. It's got a really nice flavor. It has all the superlatives that the Virginia smoker are looking for. Lots of natural sugar content, that pleasant sting, a little bit of that vinegar in the background. You know, it's just really, really nice. And so on and on, I'd have to say it's a great Christmas tobacco. It really is. And part of the reason it is called Kringle Flake, but also it has that zesty cheerfulness that comes from this time of year. Think the nutmeg and the allspice and all that kind of stuff. This is a tobacco that it doesn't have those flavors in it, but gosh, it's reminiscent of it because of how it burns and how it tastes in your mouth. Mm. And so a great tobacco. If you can get your hands on a can, I highly recommend it. And let's all pound the doors of Sutliff and ask for more of this kind of stuff.
Man, that was quite the testimonial. And certainly, man, I think throughout all of the various flavors that you've kind of laid out, especially with this one in particular. At one point you said like a spicy, mushroomy, sweet, like there was like a bunch of different concoctions of flavors that now have me just starving for dinner. So I would say you've set the Christmas table here, but here's my question for you, man.
Yeah, sure.
Would you say, I mean, like when you're a pipe tobacconist, like, do these go on your Christmas wish list, or is it like, I mean, you know, you already got them. What does Santa bring to the pipe tobacconist who has everything?
He brings Boodles.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
He brings gin.
Now, there you go.
He does. And you know, a good conversation and fellowship and man, that's all the Christmas cheer the tobacconist needs.
Hey man, now there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, look, we need a ton of cheer right now. It's been a rough year, but of course, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum are all about spreading the cheer this year, offering 25 days of giving. This is a giveaway from November 25th until December 24th. So we're coming up here at the very tail end, but you can enter for a chance to win a Missouri Meerschaum prize. Drawing will be held from December 1st through Christmas Day, and they will be drawing once daily. So you want to make sure you enter now. Corncobpipe.com is their website. And of course, we love the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum for helping sponsor this show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week. All right, man, this one's coming in from Cassie Holland. It's a great pipe question. So here's what Cassie has to say. I have a bit of a pipe question that I believe you both can provide some input on as pertains to being a pipe smoker and who is also a father. While not yet a father myself, I'm aspiring to be one and relish the idea of celebrating with a pipe. That said, how do you guys manage smoking the pipe while having younger children who would not do so well around the smoke? Are there best practices for being able to smoke in the season of fatherhood? Also, I have some friends who have celebrated the birth of their child with the purchase of a favorite liquor to share or perhaps not share with that child when they turn 21. Do either of you make a sort of celebratory purchase pertaining to the pipe with the birth of your child? Also, man, there's a lot of questions up in this.
There's a lot. It's a lot packed into this. Good stuff.
This is really more of an episode that Casey is presenting right here. But
it might be.
I also wanted to ask you guys, have a pipe reservation to pass down to your kids one day as some sort of heirloom. As always, I appreciate the podcast greatly and helpful entertainment as it provides over the course of a somewhat bleak year. Keep up the great work. And that again is from Casey. Casey, laying it out, the best pipe smoking practices for fathers of newborn children.
No, that's right. It's a lot to look forward to. Well, Casey, to be an aspiring father, that's great. You do need to find a spouse first.
Yes.
So I would highly recommend that.
Be an aspiring husband first, and then
do the things that spouses do, and maybe the stork will stop by. But man, yeah, we do wish you a a full family one day. And yeah, you know, with what we've done, I've mentioned this on the air before, but I actually purchased a pipe in honor of my daughter, and it's a Siriacopo. It's a beautiful straight grain pipe that has a nice warm red color, and it's got a sterling band on it with these geese that are flying around the side. My daughter's name is Charlotte. Charlotte means free woman. It's the feminine for Charles, and just has that that freedom. And I'm thinking the flying birds and all that. It just kind of made good sense to me. And so for me personally, while I'm smoking that pipe, that's time that I set aside for ruminating about my daughter, praying for her, thinking of her, and that type of thing. And so that might be something you do, is have a pipe in honor of whatever child that you have. For me, your standards are going to be different smoker to smoker as it comes to tobacco products around children. That's just the reality of it. I don't know how else to say it. When I'm on the porch outside, it's nothing for me to hold my baby and smoke my pipe. We're outside, the wind's blowing, and I feel like it's a responsible way to enjoy my family and my belief. And so, you'll have to work through that, yourself and with your own standards and your spouse and everything else. But that's kind of what we do in our house. And so, it's just something you'll have to, kind of feel your way through and your own comfort level. So, we are sensitive to it, though. We want to, make sure that the baby's not, constantly in a cloud of smoke or anything. So even outside, we just, make sure that we're standing in the right areas to dissipate the smoke where it needs to go. Yeah. So you'll figure it out as you get to that point. So, and a lot of folks do, when the child turns of age, they'll maybe have some tobacco they had set back for them when they were born. And maybe you can crack that tin of tobacco open at that point. Or, you bought them a pipe and you give them that pipe when they turn 21, or, however that might work for you. But, the fun thing is, you can invent the tradition. You don't have to. There is no guideline. It's something that you can come up with yourself. And so, I encourage you to do that. Be creative, regardless, have your babies, interact with you. Have them familiar with it. These are going to be folks that have fond memories of being around daddy and smelling that sweet pipe tobacco. And so, we encourage it.
Well, you encourage it. I'm actually going to go in a different direction on that one. I did not smoke my pipe around my kids when they were infants. In fact, I didn't smoke around them until they were both kind of school age. The body at that stage in particular, the kids developing, the brain's developing, it's a tender age. I think what you said is right. Like, if you're going to do it outside where the wind is blowing, that's exactly right. I think we've all learned a little bit about, making sure that the utilizing the wind to carry things away is a good thing in the year 2020. But no.
Don't smoke your pipe in your car with your infant when the window's up.
Right, exactly.
Just don't do that.
I think that it's one of those things I obviously enjoy the pipe. I think it's a good thing to enjoy. I think you're right. I think there's going to be many, many memories of my kids seeing dad smoke the pipe, to be sure. But in the infant stage, you take one for the team when you become a father one way or the other. And some of is sacrificing and putting things you love to the side to care for them in the way that you see fit. Because you're right, John David. It's really kind of about folks making whatever choice they want to there. And I will say this. With saving, so obviously I've got a number of pipes. I don't have any that are kind of dedicated to specific children or anything of that nature. Really, like, when it comes to family heirlooms, I think the biggest thing for me is probably hats more than anything else, because they're going to associate those hats with me more than anything. And actually, sometimes I'll even like bring my hat out and put it on the kid if they're having a rough day and it's kind of a moment brightener and that sort of thing. But like you said, it's really kind of about defining what that tradition is. I'd love to say that there's a tin that I saved. I could probably go into my cellar and pick out a couple tins and fudge it a little bit. Be like, I'm saving this one.
Yeah, I picked these out when you were born, and it was really, it was very thoughtful.
But I think you have to plan ahead for something like that to make it happen. Though I will, for my oldest, we planted a tree in our yard.
Yeah.
when she was born. The judge came over and we planted a tree in the backyard.
Yeah, you know, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, and it's still there. Obviously, we're not in that house anymore, so there's a bit of a, you know, learned a bit of a lesson on that one. You can't take that one with you, but...
Right. I think that's right.
I think a briar pipe is certainly the... Probably the best thing. Man, that's a beautiful pipe you just described for your daughter, too. Well, Casey, yeah. man, best of luck to you and your family endeavors. Keep us posted, to be sure. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to write into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. And that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quickfire questions!
Ow!
All right, man. Quickfire questions. These are... Okay, we're keeping up that kind of Christmas theme going on here. I want you to cast your mind back, all right? When you're okay. A kid, Christmas morning, Santa's coming. We're going to be running down, like, the kid... Like, when you were a kid, these are the quickfire questions in terms of the gift you wanted, all right?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, train set or race car?
Ooh, I'm gonna go race car.
Okay. Yeah, no, the race car, I mean, it was more freeing. You could take it on anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, teddy bear or any other stuffed animal?
I'm gonna go with any other stuffed animal. Right. For me, it wasn't, it was probably a pound puppy.
Oh, man, I forgot about the pound puppies, man.
I had a pound puppy, and man, I clung to that dog for many years. So I'll probably go with him.
Okay, all right, that's pretty good, man. No, I had a little bear called Black and White Bear that man, I wish I knew where it was, and I loved that thing like crazy, and I have no idea where it went. And the funny thing was, I called it Black and White Bear, but it was just really kind of brown and tan.
Black and tan,
right,
yeah.
But anyway, all right, Game Boy or Sega?
Game Boy. I love Sega. I was one of the folks that had a Genesis. I had a Game Gear. I, you know, loved it. But man, between the two, I got to go with the Game Boy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like so there was a kid in my neighborhood who had the Sega, the handheld Sega, and it had, what was it, like Echo, Dolphin, Hero,
yeah,
whatever that was called. And that game was like such a weird concept, and yet I loved that game, and I really always wanted the Sega for that Dolphin game. But yeah, Game Boy's pretty tight though. All right, and then this is the lame gift that you got from like your aunt or maybe your grandma or something like that. Clothes or books?
All right, which one I would rather get?
Yeah,
is
I guess
probably so. Probably clothes. I, you know, at that point it's like, well, you know, I at school they're making me read enough, and you know, I'd probably go with the clothes.
I want to be very clear. I love all of my relatives, and I love all the care that they put in the gifts. But every single year that I got clothing for Christmas, like it was all stuff that I would never wear. You know what I mean? Like I would never choose this for myself. I never wear it. And most of the time they just hung up in my closet. Like sometimes my mom would force me to wear it for like Sunday. But like for the most part, like I never really got into the clothes that
you hang on to it long enough that relative kind of forgets about
that's
it,
right.
And then you take it to Goodwill.
Yeah, well,
kind of
ideally
idea?
You outgrow it, and then your siblings are stuck with it. And so that worked out pretty well. As an oldest child, I was able to make that work. All right, and then lastly, what was your favorite present from Santa as a kid?
Wow, dang,
right?
I don't know. It was probably. Oh gosh. Yeah, it was probably the time I got a bicycle.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'd say it was the time I got a little BMX bike, and man, I was a Northeast Jackson Road Warrior, and man, just tore up the streets of 39211, riding my bike, man. Yeah, I think I'd have to go with that.
That's a classic gift. That's a great one, man.
Yeah.
Mine would be there was a submarine Lego kit that I got one year, and
yes.
I loved that thing so much, and I just remember being mesmerized by it. It was a beautiful, beautiful gift. But that Lego set was definitely my favorite toy as a kid. All right, well, there you go. That's quickfire questions for this week. And hey, if you've got some quickfire questions, be sure to send them in the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. We've got our last bit here at the tail end of the show. We got some great listener feedback in from Joe, as it relates to our episode last week. So, John David, what did Joe have to say?
Yeah, Joe, man, longtime listener of the show and good friend. He says, hey, Country Squires, love the pipes and pulpit episode. As a Catholic, I can tell you guys are going to make a couple of fantastic future papists. he said, I'm here for you. My Reformed friends are going to have a blast.
I know, right?
My uncle, he goes on to say, my uncle is himself a priest who gave me all his pipes when he gave up the hobby. He said, the reason was because as a priest, if he preaches that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, maybe he shouldn't be smoking. He had no such reservation about me taking up the hobby, however. It's like, I'm a priest. I gotta appear like I got my act together. You go ahead and smoke the pipe.
Right. This is wrong. You have it.
Right. He goes on to say, I thank him to this day for his conversion. I have given a priest a nice Savinelli as a gift, and he and two seminarians at my house spent a wonderful evening smoking and discussing the finer things. These are just two examples of many, but along with alcohol in moderation, it seems like a very acceptable practice within Catholic circles. And guys, the 12 days of Christmas starts December 25th.
We're not going to do this.
Not ends.
Come on, man.
It starts December 25th, not ends. Leave that tree up and the lights until Epiphany, or we will have to fight. With tongue slightly in cheek to avoid the bite. That's from Joe. And he is right. He is right. The 12 days of Christmas starts on Christmas Day, which is the beginning of Christmas tide, which ends at Epiphany. And so technically the lights should be
okay.
Up.
The Catholics are right. Is that what you want me to say? I'll say it. The Catholics are right.
Well, I'll just say those of us that follow the church calendar are right.
No, you're exactly right. My wife has argued this several times, but I think that carrying the Christmas season from a I think as Christians we should carry the season of Christmas all year long in our hearts and in our worship to be sure. I think as consumers who have been bombarded with mistletoe and shining lights and Santa Claus and Christmas trees
carols.
And carols,
yeah.
I think I'd rather start the new year on a bit of a fresh slate. And so, I want to respect the practices of those following strictly to the church calendar. However, on the first day of Christmas, it was over for me.
It was over.
It was done. But thanks so much for that, Joe. We really appreciate
it. That's funny. Yeah, Joe, great feedback, man. Thank you.
And hey, if you've got some feedback for us, head over to, again, that's show at countrysquireradio.com is a great place to email us. You can follow us on the Twitters. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
At Squire Radio is the show's handle, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, we have got some great content headed y'all's way here to carry us through the end of the year. We're really, really excited to get to our best of episode. We've got our Christmas wish list coming up next week. It's going to be it's a fun season, man. Despite the frustrations of the year, it is a fun season, and I'm looking forward to spending it with you.
Indeed. Likewise, man. Well, as always, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you next week.
All right, man. Let's go have a day.
Bye, brother.
Upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.